Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lean Keys Real Talk. We're back with another episode. For this one, you know, we're going to talk about UFC 272 since, you know, we were on a short break for a couple weeks there, and I want to say that happened in that time frame. We didn't. I think we got to do predictions for it. We were here the week of, and then since then, we didn't get to really talk about. Obviously, things have happened since the event, and you know, a lot of controversy after the event, and there's definitely things to talk about with that. So we have that. Obviously, UFC 273 is this Saturday. That's, to me, a massive card. To many people, it's a massive card. Two title fights, Khamzat Chimaev, Gilbert Burns, Tisha Torres, Mackenzie Dern. There's a lot of bangers on that card. Excellent card. But, yeah, we're going to get into a lot of stuff tonight. It's going to be a good one. I'm very happy to be back chopping it up with my boy Lee. We're about to get to it. Lee, how you doing tonight, though?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. Glad to be back in the saddle, man. Good talk some UFC, man. It's been a while. You know, yeah, I think the last time we had a show, we did our predictions for UFC 272. Yeah, I don't think we really got to talk about it. So, yeah, man, let's have some fun, bro.
Yeah, because I want to say I'm almost positive we did a show a couple of days before it. Because I remember doing our predictions for the card, and we haven't been on since then. So obviously things have happened, you know, after the event. First of all, I'll say this. I'm a big Colby Covington fan, you know, and it's crazy saying that because I didn't think I'd be saying that. And especially you probably didn't think I'd be saying that because if anyone is listening to this show or, I mean, you obviously know this, many people on that have followed me on Twitter for the, you know, any amount of time probably know this, or if, probably most of the people that followed me a couple of years ago, I was a very big Tyron Woodley fan, so I kind of couldn't be a Colby Covington fan. So I just wasn't really feeling him because I'm like, okay, Woodley, you know, that's my guy, and he's kind of beefing with Colby Covington, so okay, so I wasn't really feeling, I wasn't paying attention to Covington. I never really watched his fight. That wasn't really something I was checking for because it just, you know, I was a Woodley fan and that's what I was. So, but then obviously, you know, Woodley kind of has fallen off and hey, I still, you know, he started doing, you know, I watched his, you know, first boxing fight and I didn't watch his last. I'm just kind of over it. Like he, I don't really know where he's kind of steered off, but it became difficult to be a Woodley fan. Obviously, I'm still a fan of him, but it's not as much as it was before because I don't know what happened with him. But either way, that's besides the point. So I'm a big Colby Covington fan, and a lot of people didn't think, you know, him and Jorge Masvidal could have been a main event. They didn't think it was, you know, main event worthy or whatever. I mean, I thought it was definitely main event worthy, and I thought that was, you know, I'll just say one thing, right? I was smiling the whole time watching that fight. I was so happy. I was so entertained. I really was smiling. Like, y'all think I just say that, you know, for entertainment, just for the show. I was really smiling. Like, if I wasn't smiling, I had this grin on my face. Like, you could just see, if anybody was watching me, you'd be like, oh, he's about to say something. He can't wait to say something. And I was. A lot of time I was. You know, I'm really watching the fight. I'm not saying anything, you know, for short periods of time during the fight. But I was saying a lot during the fight. You know what I mean? I was very happy. You know, I feel like he showed a lot in the striking. He showed a lot, obviously, in the wrestling, which you can expect from him. And he showed a lot in just dominating Jorge Masvidal. And it is what it is. I know Masvidal fans are sore about that. But this is a fight game. You know, guys go fight in the cage. That is what it is. It's, you know, now it's like, you know, people want to, like, seem to bring that to the – there's a lot of implications of it. But either way, you know, I'm pretty sure he won 50-44. I don't know if it was across the board, all three judges, but there was at least a 50-44 in there. I don't know what the official thing was, but he completely dominated. And I think that was an incredible performance, and I'm very happy about it. What did you think about the performance?
I was very disappointed in Jorge Masvidal. you know, after the fight, he was like, I didn't work on my wrestling that much, you know. And I'm sitting up here like, bruh, only thing Kobe Covington been saying leading up to the fight was that he was going to have his crotch in your face all night. So why wouldn't you train for the takedown? Why wouldn't you work on your wrestling? So to me, you know, Kobe looked good. Masvidal, I just think he's a one-trick pony. And when you're a one-trick pony, if that trick ain't working, you can get exposed and made to look really bad in a fight. And he did. If you look at Kobe, total strikes 218, landed 338 thrown. Significant strikes 94, landed 201 thrown, 84 to the head, 9 to the body, 1 to the leg. And it's like he doubled up basically Masvidal. Masvidal, 90 strikes landed, 90 total strikes, 166 thrown, 67 significant strikes, 140 thrown. I mean, groundwork, 16 minutes for Covington, 21 seconds for Masvidal. So, this fight really wasn't as action-packed as I thought it would be. You know, Kobe went in there, did his thing, made Masvidal look bad. I don't know where Masvidal will go from here. I really don't know what happens with him now. Only thing I think that could happen with Masvidal now is if Leon Edwards loses to Usman and they somehow reignite what happened backstage a couple years ago between Masvidal and Leon Edwards. But outside of that, I see Kobe. You know, Kobe said he wanted to fight Dustin Poirier, but if I'm Poirier, I make him come down to 155. I don't go up. I don't fight him at 165. I make him come down where I got the advantage at. Kobe, I see him probably waiting to fight the winner of the Gilbert Burns on Cosmat Samar fight, which is happening Saturday. So, Kobe, sit back. Sit back. Try to get yourself back into the title picture, which would be hard, being that you've lost twice to the champ. But overall, good fight, good main event. But I think the stuff that happened after the fight that went down in their personal lives, stuff like that shouldn't happen, but it does happen. I don't know a lot of people. Well, it's been a couple of weeks, so I guess Kobe and Masvidal ran into each other in Miami. And punches were thrown, and I guess Masvidal got arrested for assault. Kobe said he wouldn't press charges or nothing like that. But hey, man, you lost to him in the octagon. Man, you got to keep it professional, bro. Keep it professional. But back to what you were saying, Kobe Covington won 49, 46, 50, 44, and 50, 45. Those were the scorecards for that main event.
Yeah. So, and so two things on that. I mean, thank you for bringing up the official scores because I didn't remember what it was on the night. I didn't even matter. I knew it was, you know, 5-round domination and, you know, Street Judas Masvidal, you know, got beat down. That's what I was wanting to see, and it was a proud moment. You know what I mean? Street Judas Masvidal, he went down. He got beat down the entire fight. The thing that I want to ask people is, and for anyone that, you know, wants to say something, this is my question. And I have to say this to my boys, too, because, you know, they were complaining about the fight. And I'm like, bro, this is mixed martial arts, first of all. This is mixed martial arts. So for all the naysayers about all, you know, Kobe, you know, he talked all that trash, and then that's the way he fought. It's like, bro, they're just selling a fight. Like, that's all that is. Like, I'm confused as to where the disconnect is. Like, this, I feel like that there is a disconnect between, like, people thinking like that you have to not a disconnect, but there's a misunderstanding. Okay, so look at this. One of the best things you can do, right? I like competitive trash talk. I think there's certain things that don't need to be said. You know, I don't think you need to go into talking about, you know, people's family, their religion, whatever. You know, there's certain things like that I don't think need to be, I don't think should be, you should go into with the trash talk. I think, I'd like to see it be kept about the individual, you know what I mean? Keep it about their character or keep it about their skills in the octagon, you know? I think you keep it to things like that and keep it to things about them. Don't involve other loved one people in their lives or religion or whatever. Things that are on a deeper level, you know, I think that shouldn't be touched. But, you know, that line does get crossed. But for me is I expected, like, and you asked me this the week of the fight. You said, what kind of fight do you think you said, do you really think Kobe's going to go in there and stand in front of Masvidal? And I want to say, I don't know if you said, will he stand in front of him for 25 minutes? And I think I said, yes, I think he will. I think it'll look like the way he fought Usman. And obviously I was wrong about that. You know, I thought that he would fight that way, but it didn't disappoint me to see him not fight that way. I personally didn't care because I understood that at the same time, That's my emotions wanting to see him fight that way. That's the portion of me that got riled up by the trash talk between the two of them that wanted to see a fight that way. But we have to come back to logic and what actually makes sense and realize that this is not like two barbarians fighting in a cave. Like, this is not the old days of guys fighting in a backyard, you know, for $100. Like, that is not what we're doing. Like, this is a you know, a multi-billion-dollar company. These fighters are getting paid big bucks to be in these fights, and you go in there and you fight your fight. Like, you don't have to fight somebody else's fight. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, a guy that tried to do that and, in my opinion, didn't do well at it is Jon Jones. Jon Jones thought that, okay, he started saying, you know, at a certain point, he started saying, I want to beat these guys at their own game. Why do you want to beat them at their own game? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, a couple of years ago when I was, you know, a bit more young, a bit less, you know, a lot less knowledgeable, you know, a bit more immature, I would say, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that entices me. I want to see him say something like that. But now at this point in this age, I'm like, man, why would you want to beat someone at their own game? That doesn't even make sense. It's like, if you're going to go fight Francis Ngannou, but you're a great wrestler and you're known for your wrestling, you're telling me you're just going to go and stand in front of Francis Ngannou when you can take him down? That doesn't make any sense. That literally makes no sense at all. And that's the part of it that I feel like a lot of, like, core fans, like not hardcore fans, kind of more casual fans, that's where the disconnect is they think that the trash talk needs to relay over into the fight. They're not thinking about, like, the actual logic that goes into the fight. It's like, what should this guy actually do to win? He should do what he needs to do to win, and he should fight his fight. So what happened with Colby Covington is this. He got in Jorge Masvidal's head. That's what happened. Very badly. You know what I mean? And I think that obviously influenced, you know, the altercation that happened after. You know, they saying that, you know, allegedly Masvidal, you know, he basically sucker punched Kobe a couple of times. And I don't really know all the details of that, but whatever. Clearly he got in his head. I mean, clearly you could see on his walkout to the fight. I mean, he didn't look right. You know what I mean? I don't know if he was extremely nervous or if he was trying to be calm or if he was just scared, like, okay, I know I'm going to lose. Like, that's the kind of look that Masvidal had on his face, if you ask me. When he was walking to the octagon and when he was in there, like, staring at Kobe across the cage, I think he knew he was going to lose. You know what I'm saying? I, that's that's my gut about that. I think he knew he talked himself into a fight that he couldn't win, and he was standing across from a guy that is leagues better than him, and that just there wasn't going to be anything he could do to win that. Look at the way that he ran across the cage and tried to do that flying knee, and Kobe read it right away and literally was nowhere near it. Like, he kind of looked foolish when he did it because it was nowhere close to ever landing. Like, he thought, this is not Ben Askren. This is not a washed-up guy from one championship that you're fighting, like, you know, after he was already retired. You know, Kobe Covington is one of the best in the world. Whether you like him or hate him, I don't care. He don't care. He's one of the best in the world. You know, we got to accept that. And, you know, so I think people got confused with the trash talk, not realizing that these guys are fighting and you could die in the cage. And therefore, with that being said, why do these guys need to fight a stupid fight? Why do they need to fight with their emotions? They should fight with their logic, and they should do what they're best at. Like, I agree with Michael Chandler, like, criticizing Israel Adesanya for being a champion and not doing enough as the champion, like, not proving, like, not being assertive enough to show he's the champion. Like, that's a different argument to me. But in the same coin, and this is a different thing to me, is I also question guys like Michael Chandler and question guys like Justin Gaethje, who supposedly they're wrestlers, but they choose to take all this punishment and then they end up losing fights that they could have won if you would have just used some of your takedowns. You know, I don't think that makes any sense. It's like Michael Chandler's leaving in the ambulance every fight and he's losing fights. It's like fights he could have won if you use this so-called wrestling that you have. Why wouldn't you use it? That doesn't make any sense. It's like, you think Charles Oliveira is not going to go for a choke when he's defending his title at some point in the fight? Why would he not go for a choke? You just want him to just stand and bang the whole time? Why would he do that? It just doesn't make sense. So I think Kobe fought the perfect fight. He did what he had to do. If Masvidal was so good at striking, why did he look like a fish out of water when they were on the feet? Why was Kobe Covington landing flurries on him all night long? Every round he was landing flurries on him. And even in that moment when Masvidal knocked him down, Kobe fell to one knee and instantly got right back up, which I feel like is like, I don't even know if I would call that a knockdown, to be honest. He didn't even get knocked down, but he was definitely hurt. He got back up, and then he was landing a flurry on Masvidal right after that. It's like, if your boy is such a good striker, why was he getting outclassed in striking? Like, he had people make it like he didn't have opportunities to land shots. Lee, did he not have opportunities to land shots?
I think once he got taken down, he just became reluctant to let his hands go. Cause you look at every time he would let his hands go, he would get taken down. So it was like, okay, so you got to fight at different angles now. You can't keep fighting with at the same angles if you know that he got you timed up. So if he got you timed up, then you got to swing and move to the right instead of moving to the left. When you swing, lift your knee up. I mean, he just didn't look right. And I think Kobe's pace kind of make people look bad because he's always coming forward, especially for guys that want to come forward. So, and plus, it's like what I said, man. Masvidal is a one-trick pony, man. And if that one trick don't work, it's a done deal. And his one trick is being able to, you know, catch somebody and finish it. I have never seen him wrestle nobody. I have never seen him go for a takedown. I have always seen him just stand up and strike. And that doesn't work in today's MMA. It just doesn't work. And if he doesn't add more things to his tool belt, all his fights will be the same way. You'll see people taking him down, seeing him get beat on the mat. and not even looking competitive. Got to give Kobe some credit that he went in with a game plan, stuck with the game plan, didn't stray away from it. You know, he said he was coming out and use his wrestling, and he did. He used his striking to set up the takedown, which was great. And Masvidal, man, I don't know, man. I just don't know where he goes from here because he's really not that good of a fighter, if we're being honest.
Yeah. And that's you know, that I think that's the copium, you know. Masvidal fans, they got to take, you know, a high dosage of the copium, you know, 500 milligrams recommended daily, you know, maybe 1,000 milligrams if it's a severe case of cope. You know, they need coping mechanisms, you know what I mean? He lost. He got absolutely embarrassed and annihilated in the fight. And the thing that's crazy about it to me is that, and this is so bad, this is so toxic. Like, when I saw this, I was disgusted. Is that there was a video of him in the back, right? And I'm going to ask you about this. There was a video of him and backstage after, you know, back whatever and after the fight. And one of his, one of his managers is there. And his manager was saying to him, like, Jorge's sitting down. He looks completely defeated, exhausted, just in confusion. And his manager is standing there saying to him, you didn't lose, what do you say? He goes, you didn't lose the fight. You got out wrestled. He goes, there's a big difference. He goes, you came here tonight to fight, and he came here to wrestle.
That's part of the
game. And I'm like, man, you need to fire that manager, bro. That is a bad person to be having talking in your ear. Like, that is so bad. Like, you should not be saying that to your fighter. That is similar to saying to your, like, if you were a parent, to saying to your kid, like, you know, they didn't have, like, they get to a certain age where you can tell them, like, all right, like, this wasn't your best night, you know, I think we can work on this. That would be like if you didn't tell them that they had things they could work on, and you were just like, oh no, you played a perfect game, or, you know, you fought a perfect fight. You know, you have a kid in boxing and something. Oh, you fought a perfect fight. It's like, no, you don't enable them to continue losing. You don't enable them to you don't give them a mindset thinking that they won. You know what I mean? When they didn't win, you don't do that. Like, you have to be honest with people, especially in fighting. I feel like you got to have somebody who's going to tell you how it is. And that is not how it is. It's not you came here to fight, he came here to wrestle. Well, this is mixed martial arts. How is he a manager? How is that guy a manager? Honestly, like, I should tag him, tweet, and just say, how are you a manager? Saying something like that. Like, you manage mixed martial arts fighters, like, in arguably the top organization in the world for the sport. And you're telling them that they didn't lose, they got out wrestled. In mixed martial arts? Bro, that is absolutely blasphemous and it makes no sense. Like, that is so toxic and just such a terrible, terrible mindset, like, to inflict on your fighter who just lost. Like, you should not tell him something like that. That is so bad. Like, and I wonder, like, if all the people, you know, who have complaints about the Kobe, you know what I mean? He didn't beat him. He just dominated. He just controlled. Like, one of my boys said that. He was like, oh, I don't feel like he really won the fight. He just controlled the fight. I'm like, bro, what does that even mean? I'm like, I don't understand what that means. Like, if you feel like that, then what happened in McGregor versus Khabib? Did Khabib not win the fight because he was grappling? Like, is that what we're doing? Did he not win? Like, I don't understand. Because to me, Khabib beat McGregor. He beat him every round of the fight. Besides round three, I had McGregor winning round three, but he beat him every other round and then finished him. But are we going to say that, are we going to enable McGregor and say, oh, you didn't lose, he didn't want to stand up and fight? Like, that's not reality. That is just a false like mindset to try to give someone confidence when they shouldn't be given confidence. Like, you lost. You need to do better. You need to improve your skills. You need to improve your wrestling. You got dominated, and maybe not some, they got dominated, but you need to tell them what they need to work on. You need to say, all right, we're going to go back. We're going to work on this. I think, you know, we sucked in this department. You need to be honest. You need to tell people what they're not doing good at so you can improve it with anything in life. Is that not true?
Yeah, man. I think, and that goes back to, once again, you know, people being a little bit delusional when it comes to the fight game. MMA is not boxing. Boxing, you know, you coming in there and you're just going to throw a jab, throw hooks, you know, throw counters, you know, dipping and dodging, bobbing and weaving and all that. That's boxing. MMA, you can kick, you can take down, you can wrestle, you can stand up, you can do karate, you can do a lot of stuff. And one of the things you can do is wrestle. And the dude told you what he was going to do. He never hid what his game plan was going to be. He never hid it. He always said that was what he was going to do. And he came in there and did it. So to tell your fighter that, you know, it's kind of irresponsible. But at the same time, what they're trying to do is keep his spirits up or whatever. But sometimes you just got to be honest. And my thing is, he got his ass whooped. And then the thing that really, really rubbed me the wrong way is when he started talking about the money at the end of the fight. He was like, I made more money than him, la, 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 la. He didn't even get no pay-per-view points, la, 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 la. It's like, so? So? He won the fight, bro. You got the L. He got the dub. He won the fight. So what are we talking about? So there's a lot of stuff that I didn't like about Jorge after the fight. And being that you just brought up something I didn't know, it makes it even worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, to me, you know, it shows his character, man. I've never been a fan of Masvidal. I mean, I knew who he was back then. I didn't really care about him. I mean, like the first time I really heard of him was when, because I wasn't, I mean, I was just coming back into my, you know, really watching UFC. But the first time I had heard of Masvidal was he was fighting, I think he stepped in like short notice to fight Cowboy Cerrone. That was like 5-6 years ago. You know, that was a completely different cowboy, you know, completely different everything.
I was at that fight.
And I think, what?
I was at that fight.
Oh, you were at that fight. That's crazy.
Yep. He ended up knocking Cerrone out
in Denver. Huh?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you said that was a great card, right?
Yep, that's the one. Cerrone was the main event. No, was he the main event? I want to say he was a co-main event. But, yeah, it was a good card.
So that was, you know, that was the first time I'd ever heard of Masvidal, to be honest. Was when he stepped in, I was like, who the hell is this guy? Like, he had, like, short hair at that time. It was before, like, he went into the whole, like, new persona that he went into. But I just never really cared about him, and then I just never really bought into his hype. You know, they had him fighting certain guys, and it was like, are you guys really impressed with this? Like, you know, Darren Till, it's like, okay, like, you know, my boy Woodley already took Darren Till's soul, you know, pretty much just before that fight. So it's like, okay, it's still a good win, but you pretty much just, like, picked up the scraps from Woodley. Woodley already shook his pride. He shook the kid's pride. Till had so much hype, and then when Woodley beat him down and got him with that Darce choke and pretty much shocked the world because everyone swore that Till was just going to smash him, like, That really fucked up Darren Till, and I like Darren Till, but that shook his pride. So then he fought Masvidal after, you know. He actually, pretty sure he knocked out Masvidal in that fight, and then Masvidal knocked him out after that. So it is what it was. Ben Askren, that's a retired fighter he fought. Ben Askren, really? Like, he was retired, and then he came back to fight in the UFC when he was literally, like, shouldn't have even, like, he was done. Like, he was done. You know, he already did a gang of fights and won. He was done. Like, so I don't even care about Nate Diaz. Like, come on, bro. Like, and then they really hyped that up and made it seem like that was some, like, incredible win streak. And it's like, really? Like, look at the guys he fought. Like, what are we talking about? Like, Nate Diaz has been in, like, 900 fights. Like, obviously, he's tough, but really? It's like, Nate Diaz, like, that, now he fights for the title, gets embarrassed. It's like, two times, gets knocked out. It's like, yeah, that's that guy, you know. I don't really have much respect for that guy. He's just, it's not my kind of style. But either way, I'll have to go too deep into that. But, yeah, Kobe, you know, had an excellent performance. I can't wait to see him fight again. You know, the stuff that happened after the event, it's unfortunate. I mean, I do think both of them are wrong. I'm not saying, like, oh, it's all Masvidal. It's not all his fault. It's, you know, I think Kobe could have done without saying many of the things that he said. He didn't have to, you know, mention, you know, the ex-wife or whatever. He didn't have to mention, you know, a deadbeat dad. You know, there's, like, certain things you don't need to say, like, you know, that could really trigger somebody, you know. So, I mean, GSP came out and said that in response to that, GSP said he thinks, like, fighters take trash talk a little bit too personal. So almost like saying, like, fighters shouldn't let the words get into their head so much. I mean, that's another perspective. Maybe the fighters, maybe they do take trash talk too serious, you know. Maybe they do, but I don't know. I mean, I think both of them were wrong, like, overall, just in the whole beef. Like, I think they kind of let it go too far. They knew each other too well to where they knew enough about each other, and they just let it get too escalated, you know. So it's unfortunate that happened, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, like me, I always feel like there's a certain line you shouldn't cross with trash talking. And, you know, that's just one of my beliefs. But in the fight game, hey, these guys, man, hey, they do their thing, man. They say what they want to say, do what they want to do. But you still got to go in there and fight your fight. Still got to go in there and execute your game plan. What was Masvidal's game plan? Who knows? I couldn't tell you what his game plan was.
Yeah, I have no idea what his game plan was. I mean, but I guess his game plan was just to get absolutely dominated. That might have been the game plan if you think about it. It is what it is. I mean, he you know, we can touch more on that, you know, on the next show. But I do want to start getting into our predictions. We got to talk about UFC. Was it 273 this weekend? So I have UFC.com pulled up right here. I know they don't always have the current lineup. I know sometimes, like, if a fighter falls out, or, you know, they missed weight and then they're not in the fight, or, you know, someone steps in, it's a different, you know, fighter. They don't always have it updated. You know, MMA Junkie will probably have it faster than them, but whatever. I think I have a decent, you know, this, to my knowledge, all these fights, these are correct. You know, to my knowledge, I know that Mark Madsen got added to the main card, which is pretty cool because I like Mark Madsen. That's a guy that I think he's a beast. Like, I love seeing him, especially he's in 155. Like, I'm pretty sure he was a Sambo world champion. I think he's from the country of Georgia. I think he's from Georgia. Oh, no, he's from Denmark. Okay, I'm thinking of someone else. All right, so Mark Madsen's from Denmark. I think he's the guy that was a Sambo world champion, but he also has, like, a lot of striking in his game too. So, yeah, his name is the Olympian. Yeah, his name is Mark the Olympian Madsen. So maybe he was an Olympic wrestler. I don't know enough about him, but he's 11-0 and fun guy to watch. I just wish he would fight more. But I am happy that he's finally on this card. We get to see him fight at some point. Let me look at this. Where do you think? Hold on, we could kick it off with that early. Okay, early prelims. I mean, I probably won't watch here. I'm probably gonna start watching on the official prelims card. I'll probably start with the Mickey Gall and Mike Malik card. That's probably gonna be the first one I watch, and then I'll just go straight through from there. But I think we can. I don't know. You have the card pulled up. Where do you want to start?
I'm looking at it now. I'm probably gonna start watching. I'll probably watch the Aspen Ladd fight. I really like watching her fight. But they got some, man. Olenek is on the early prelims now. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, they got Olenek on the early prelims.
Yeah. I like the Aspen Ladd, Raquel Pennington. We can start with the main card.
You want to go?
We got about 20 minutes left.
Yeah, because we don't know. I don't know enough. Like, I've never seen Ian Garry fight. You know, there's a lot of hype with him, but it's not. That's just one I got to watch. I don't really know what he's going to be like. I've never seen him fight. And Rozenstruik and Tybura, I mean, that's just a heavyweight fight. We'll see. And Rozenstruik's kind of been taking some L's. And Tybura, even, I think, took his first. I think he only has one loss. I think he took his first L recently, too, though. So we'll see. That's just a heavyweight fight. We'll see how it plays out. You know, the heavyweights, like, that fight could be over, you know, in the first 2 minutes. Those guys both hit hard, so we'll see how it goes. I think Tybura has a pretty good clinch, too, if I remember correctly, Tybura. But, yeah, we'll start out with Vince – where have I heard this guy's name? Vince Pichel or Vince Pichel. Versus Mark Madsen.
I don't know, because this is my first time seeing hearing of this guy, but he has been in the UFC. It looks like he's a UFC veteran. Actually, he has had 9 fights in the UFC. Actually, he's on the 3-fight winning streak. But the people he beat, Austin Hubbard, Jim Miller, Roosevelt Roberts, I don't know none of them except Jim Miller. So, yeah, he's a UFC veteran.
Who's that, Vince Pichel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a finisher. Most of his fights go to decision.
I mean, I'll probably just say it. Like, I think Mark Madsen's an absolute savage beast. He's probably going to run through this guy. He's pretty dominant. I've only seen Mark Madsen fight, I think, one time. But one time was enough. He looked incredible. And obviously, it's like guys work their way up. Okay, you know, who are they really fighting? You know, I might have watched them fight a guy from, you know, down the street working at Burger King, for all I know. And I thought he looked incredible there, but he hasn't fought, you know, big competition yet. But I just think, you know, the way he is, you know, 11-0, he's going to come out and do his thing. I think he's a Sambo world champion. So, and he has the striking. I think Mark Madsen is going to run through this guy. I don't really know how. I don't know how, but he's going to do it. Want to jump into the Dern and Torres fight?
Yeah, let's do it.
So this fight right here is actually we usually talk about our sleeper fight of the night. This is actually my sleeper fight of the night. Usually, you know, me and Lee try to pick sleeper fights from, you know, sleeper areas, you know, where people would tend to sleep on the fights that are there. You know, usually main card is kind of, you know, highlighted fights. So, you know, usually sometimes we'll pick a sleeper fight from the main card, but usually I try to look elsewhere. But this one, this is just, I look through the card and I just think this is the sleeper fight. You know, I think, and the reason why is because it's the fight that's happening before pretty much a massive, like, triple header at the top of the card. Like, these three fights at the top of the card are all very, very big fights. You know, these are all big, big fights. And all three of these fights have a lot of anticipation, a lot of hype around them right now. Pretty much each rivalry, each guy, you know, Chimaev and Burns, obviously that's probably the most competitive, I'd say the most competitive fight on this entire card by far. Both guys just have so many weapons. It's going to be crazy. I don't even know what's going to happen. I'm just going to watch it. But, yeah, so I think the reason why Torres and Dern is my super fight is because I think it's going to get overlooked on the main card just because it's before that triple header that is so crazy. So I think people are just going to be kind of watching it. You know, they might try to be on their phones, so they might try to, you know, go have a smoke break because they're thinking about, oh, Burns versus Chimaev is next, you know. So I think that's why it'll go under a lot of people's radars. But this is an absolute banger. This is a banger, bro. This is the level of female, like, UFC fighting that I want to see. You know what I mean? Number five versus number seven. I'm a fan of Mackenzie Dern. Obviously, Lee knows I'm a big fan of Tisha Torres. We've been through that. I mean, if you listen to the show, you know how many times I've, I've sung her praises. You know how many times. And this is a fight where I feel like Mackenzie Dern is, you pretty much have someone who's dominant on the ground versus someone who is dominant on the feet, and it's going to come down to who can make it their fight. You know, if Tisha's going to stop the takedowns and if she can avoid even going to the ground, you know, it can remain on the feet. You know, Tisha Torres is going to piece her up. You know, that's just the way that's going to go. I mean, Dern striking is not good enough to deal with Tisha Torres, especially we saw how good Tisha looked in her last fight. I think it was versus Angela Hill. Tisha looked incredible, man. She, oh my goodness, I was blown away by the way she looked in that fight. And yeah, so I just think that's the way this one's going to be. If Dern can get the takedown and, you know, get the fight to the mat, you know, I think it'll probably be her fight. But I think if, you know, Tisha can stop the takedowns, I think it'll be her fight. So, you pick this one. Who you got in this one?
This is a hard fight to pick because both of them do totally opposite things. But when I can't get over how fast Tisha Torres looked at her last fight. She looked so fast at her last fight. And her striking matched her speed. Now, one thing about Mackenzie Dern is she can take a punch, but can she take a barrage of punches? I don't know. Tisha can't let this fight go to the ground. If Mackenzie takes her to the ground, Tisha's going to be in for a long night, a long, long night. But that being said, I'm going to go with Tisha Torres to win this fight because of how impressive she was in her last fight against Angela Hill. And Angela Hill isn't slow by any stretch of the imagination. She made Angela Hill look like she was in a sandbox and people was pouring water in the sandbox. So I was looking for the tweet that you had asked. You had sent me a tweet asking me how can Tisha win and how can Mackenzie Dern win. And I can't find the tweet. But I'm going with Tisha Torres to win this fight. Razor thin. I think she wins it 2-1. And she continues her win streak, man. She has to keep it on the feet, and she has to use her speed. And I think she does both, and she wins this fight.
Man, it's so funny because I want to go against you and just for the, I want to go against you just for the odds of, you know, usually when we both pick the same, or if there's like three people on and we all pick the same, usually in those are the ones where, like, if we all picked, you know, if we all picked Burns to win, like, he would get smoked in the first 10 seconds. Or, you know, if we all picked Dustin Poirier to beat Oliveira, which we didn't, I think we all picked Oliveira. But most of the times when we do that, if there's three people, you know, our prediction gets crushed. So I want to go against it and pick Dern, but it's so hard for me, bro. It really is. Like, because if I pick Dern, I can't be disappointed because I'll be right in the prediction, but I'll be disappointed to see Tisha lose. So, ah, man, that's tough. Ah, fuck it. I'm going with you. Tisha's going to do it. She's going to do it. She's going to stop the takedowns. She's going to piece her up on the feet, and it's going to be a masterful performance of domination. Dominational aspects. That's not even a word. I just made it up because I don't care. And hold on. We got a call in line right now. I'm about to ask him or ask him or her their prediction. Yo.
Hello.
Who's on the line?
What's good, guys?
Oh, is that Evan?
Evan. What's good?
Bro, we were predicting Mackenzie Dern versus Tisha Torres. Who do you got in that fight?
I think I'm taking Mackenzie Dern.
Why?
I think Tisha's good. I think she's going to have, obviously, the speed advantage. But I think Mackenzie's going to have, one, the power advantage in strength and in just punching power. But also, I think at some point, she's going to get a hold of Tisha. She's going to take her down, and she's going to put her to sleep. I'll take Mackenzie Dern by, I'll say, second round submission.
Okay. I like it.
All right, cool. I'm probably going to go, like I just said, you probably heard it, Evan. I was like, if I want to pick Dern for the sake of being right for the pick and then not being upset, but then if I pick Torres and then she loses, I'll be upset. But I'm rooting for her anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Being right in the prediction, it's not like I'm betting on it. It don't really matter. Like, even if I'm right in the prediction of Dern, and then I'm still going to feel like I was wrong because she lost, so I'm going to be upset. So it's not going to matter. I need to pick her by unanimous decision.
Tisha Torres is his girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. And it is what it is. You know, I think she has a girlfriend too, but that's okay. You know what I mean? That's okay. It's like Drake said, if you listen to Drake's new album, say that you were a lesbian girl, me too. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's how it is. So the next one, Gilbert Burns versus Khamzat Chimaev. Lee, you want to go first?
I'll go first. I like Khamzat Chimaev. I think there's a lot of hype around him. I like Gilbert Burns. Thought Gilbert Burns against Usman, he looked a little overmatched. You know, even though he did hurt Usman in that fight, I predicted that one of my outrageous predictions this year was Chimaev and his boy Islam would both lose title fights. So I'm going to say he's going to lose before he even get a title match. I like Gilbert Burns in this fight. I think Gilbert Burns can survive on the ground. I think Gilbert Burns can submit him. I think Gilbert Burns' ground game is just as good as Chimaev's. But I like Gilbert Burns' hands more than I like Chimaev's hands. So I'm going to take Gilbert Burns to win this fight. I'm going to say he pulled it out late. He pulls out the key special with the third round KO.
Oh, I knew it. I knew the key special
Gilbert
was
Burns.
Coming, man. I could
Gilbert
feel it.
Gilbert Burns, third round KO.
That's a perfect
stopping
one for
the
key special, man. third round TKO. That's the ultimate prediction. All right.
That's my pick, buddy.
All right, I'm going to go like this. So, oh, man. I might not even give a prediction for this fight. Do I got to give a prediction?
Yeah, that's what we do.
Oh, man, I really don't want to because this is the one out of all on the card. I just was like, yo, I'm going to watch it because I have no idea who wins that. But I'm gonna go against you, pick Khamzat Chimaev to win. I'm going to say where Burns has all the weapons to win as well. I think both of them can beat each other. It's not like, you know, Burns could – they could both beat each other. That's what I think. I think they could both finish each other, you know, in many ways. But I'll go with Chimaev, you know, for the sake of going against you for one of the picks. And I'll say Chimaev wins by – I'd say probably Burns is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, but I think we might see Chimaev submit him. We might see Chimaev submit him second round.
Okay. Well, Evan? I know Evan going with Burns. Watch. Go ahead, Evan. Who you got, bro?
How'd you know that?
Because I've been reading your tweets.
Yeah, I got to go with Burns, man. A lot of things are worrying me about Chimaev. You know, he's still an unknown. You know, he's still an unknown. I don't know if he's fought, you know, I haven't really checked out his record, you know, on the regional scene before getting to the UFC. But in the UFC, he has not been passed the second round. So, you know, how's his cardio? Yeah, in his entire pro fight career, he has not been to the third round. How's his cardio? He just went through COVID, almost possibly retired because of that. So the weight cut's going to be dangerous. And how's his chin? We haven't seen him take a genuine punch. And Gilbert Burns, like you mentioned, put Usman down for a second. The kid packs power. And I just think... I think this is going to be one of those experiences where the hype train gets derailed, and I don't think a lot of people are ready for it. And with that being said, I'm going to take Gilbert Burns. I'm going to go crazy on this one, and I think he knocks him out in the first because we all know Khamzat is going to shoot early, and if he tries to stand with him, I think Gilbert knocks him out. So, yeah, Gilbert, first-round KO. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually cool with me because, I mean, that's the one thing I've said was that, you know, where I've become a fan of Chimaev, you know, usually those boogeyman kind of guys that come in like Ngannou when he came in, like, wasn't a fan of him. You know, one thing I would say with Chimaev is, you know, I think he might be, you know, overrating himself in the stand-up department, like where I believe his work on the mat is high level. You know, I think he could beat a lot of guys if he takes them down. I'm not so convinced on his striking. Like him talking about, like, if I fight Adesanya and I take him down, it's like, yeah, I believe you. If you fight Adesanya and you take him down, you're going to win. But if you fight Adesanya and you have to stand up, you know, and that's a stand-up fight, I'm not. He's not a better striker than Adesanya. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't – we're not doing that. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that will say he is, but it's like, where's the evidence? You know what I mean? What do you have to go off of to say that? Adesanya, even where I think he lost to Whitaker the last fight, he's a hell of a striker, you know, and he knows the game. You know what I mean? I don't think Khamzat beats him. But then again, Khamzat's only absorbed one strike in – you know, in his first four fights. So that is a pretty incredible stat, regardless of who he fought.
All right.
So next one, we got Aljamain Sterling, the so-called champ, versus Petr Yan, the interim champion. It is nice to see an undisputed champion fighting an interim champion. I'm going to make my pick off the bat. You know, Sterling looks to be in great shape. I've been a fan of Sterling since he was unranked, since some of his first fights. And I take pride in saying that because, you know, I'm a fan of him. I want to see him do well. I just don't like the way his attitude got once he won the belt. He started just having this attitude. And it's like, I don't think you should really walk around with that type of attitude when you didn't even win the belt fair and square. Like, you won it off of technicality. It's like, you didn't even beat the guy. So I don't know why he got so cocky like that. And I just didn't like that. But obviously, I want to see him do well. He looks to be in great shape. But my thing is, I don't see him, unless he comes out and can just, because I think he, I think if he didn't gas himself out in the first fight, I think he might have had Piotr Jan hurt. The way he came out, like out of a cannon in the first round of the last fight, was insane. But then you could tell he exhausted himself. In the second, he was visibly exhausted. He didn't have hands like that after the first round. And Jan is just, I think, overall a better striker than him. You know, kind of a few, you know, he's a couple notches better. So, you know, so if Aldo can't take him down, his last fight, I think he went like 0-13 on takedowns or something like that. I don't think he's going to be able to take Jan down, and I think he just is going to lose in the striking. And, yeah, I see Jan unifying the belts here. I think Jan won't finish him. I don't think it'll be a finish. I think Jan will win by unanimous decision, unify the belt.
Oh, man, I'm going to keep this one short and sweet. I'm a fan of Aljo, but I thought he was losing the first fight, and I think he loses this fight. I think Jan picks him apart pretty easily this fight. Only way Jan can lose this fight, Keys, really, is if he come in too emotional. He can't come in emotional. You got to come in, fight your fight, and leave all the emotions in the locker room. Because if he come in and he fight emotional, I see him getting taken down over and over and over by Aljo and possibly losing this fight. So, that being said, I'm going Peter Yan. Second round TKO, making it look easy. You getting it, reclaiming his belt. What you got, Evan?
Well, to Key's point on the Aljamain Sterling takedown thing, just for the knowledge, I looked up the stat. He was 1-17, Keys.
Wow.
Yeah. Peter Yan, or Piotr Yan, was 7-7 on takedowns. But that's when Aljamain was disgustingly tired because of how hard he pushed. But to my pick, I'm going with the upset. I'm taking Sterling. I think he's going to learn from the mistake he made in the first fight. I think he was the emotional one in the first fight, and he pushed way too much of a crazy pace, and it faulted him. Or did it? You know, you never know with his style, because if you go back and watch the fight against Pedro Munhoz, that was only 3 rounds and he started to get tired. So, you know, what kind of pace is he going to bring? What kind of style is he going to bring? That's what's interesting to me. But with that being said, I like the pick. I like Aljamain Sterling in this one. I think we're going to go to a decision. I think Aljamain will get a 3-2 decision. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to go first on the next one, too. It's going to take me about 10 seconds for this pick. So the Volcano on UFC.com is sitting at a minus 720 favorite, which I think he's increased even more from where he was at. I think he was a 6-point favorite. Now I think he's just over a 7-point favorite. It is what it is. I think the Volcano is going to absolutely thrash the Korean Zombie. This is a big mismatch to me. Like, this is, I mean, you just take what you can get. I mean, Holloway fell out, so it is what it was, but this is a complete mismatch. I mean, the Volcano is leagues better than the Korean Zombie. I mean, he really is. And the people that are, you know, saying that it's not that and the Zombie's way better, and all of a sudden there's all these Korean Zombie fans that have made Twitter. It's like, man, get the hell out of here with that, all right? None of you guys were talking about him before this fight got booked. It's just because they hate Volkanovski, and they just want to root for anyone that is fighting him. That's just really what it comes down to. Every single time he fights, people all of a sudden are Ortega fans, all of a sudden it's, you know, Max Holloway, you know, got robbed twice. You know, it's just all this, like, bullshit narratives that just always come out every time he has a fight. It's like, oh, he's too cocky. Oh, who is, you know, it's just all this shit. And it's like, you know, I got him thrashing the Korean Zombie. You know, Coach Cejudo kind of taken out here. And I think he would take an L too fighting Volkanovski, but no, he won't get the privilege of having that fight. And yeah, that is what it is. I think Volkanovski is going to stop him. Probably, I'm going to go with the key special. We're going to go third round TKO.
Actually, I think this fight is actually easy to pick too. Korean Zombie does put on action-packed fights, but his style plays right into the hands of what Volkanovski does best. And that's his stand-up game. And Zombie doesn't have the best defense. So I look for Volkanovski to put it on him quite easily in this fight. I don't see it going to the judges. I see Volkanovski winning this fight, maybe second round KO. But the only thing Volkanovski has to be, he has to worry about, don't let the Korean Zombie get any confidence. If he starts to build confidence, he becomes more dangerous as a fighter if you watch his fights in the past. But Volkanovski should easily outclass Korean Zombie, setting up Volkanovski versus Holloway probably this summer. So, yeah, I got Volkanovski, second round KO.
All right, Evan, who you got for the main event?
Volk wins. Shut up. That's all I have to say. Volk wins.
You know he's a Volkanovski fan, so.
I'll be honest.
I am scared of this fight. I genuinely think the Korean Zombie can put up a good fight. I think the odds are quite ridiculous. I don't think the odds should be that high. Someone on YouTube made a great point. The Zombie's been going through a lot of injuries. He's a lot older, you know, in the fight game than Volkanovski is. He's only 2 years older at 35 to 33. But he's been fighting for so much longer. He's had long layoffs, the injuries. It's just, you know, it's a different level. Like, let's just – I hate doing MMA math. I think it's really bad. But let's talk about it. The Korean Zombie wasn't able to do anything to Ortega, pretty much got whooped that whole fight. What did Volkanovski do to Ortega? Destroyed him. Like, it was just not classing. Now, like I said, MMA math does not work. Can't go by that. But I truly think Volk is just – he's the man right now. He's in his prime. He's undefeated at featherweight. The one loss was a welterweight loss, which was silly. He's undefeated. It should be a mauling, and I think it will be a mauling. I don't think it's going to end early. I think it's probably going to go to the later rounds. But we'll see. But I will not count out the Zombie. This is definitely – this is his last shot at a title. Let's put it that way. Like, this is his shot, and if he doesn't get it done, it's over for him. So he'll definitely be bringing it, but – yeah, Volkanovski by however the fudge he wants.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Lee, any thoughts on that?
I got Volkanovski, man, winning by second round KO. I think Korean Zombie, the longer the fight goes on, the more confident he'll get. But I just don't – I see Volkanovski coming in, taking care of business, getting it done quickly. I ain't gonna say Korean Zombie's gonna get outclassed, but I just think wrong place, wrong time for him in this fight.
Yeah, it's a difficult weight class when the top two guys who do I take a fight. Yeah, I mean, Ortega knows that. Ortega knows it's a difficult weight class when, you know, he had to fight both of them and basically got beat up pretty bad by both of them, and they're both, like, all-time great featherweights, you know, and both of them are arguably featherweight of all time. I mean, I think Volkanovski's in that conversation now. Holloway, he's solidifying himself further into that conversation, but he's definitely in it. Holloway is, you know, arguably the greatest featherweight of all time. So, and Volkanovski's fought Aldo too. So, that, it's crazy. It's very crazy, but it's tough. Korean Zombie, you're just in a place where you're fighting the absolute best guys, you know. And then this is probably one of the toughest fights for him right now. You know, this is insane. So, it is what it is. But we got to it though. You know, UFC 272. We talked about that. The aftermath of that. We might touch on that a little bit more, and a show coming up. But you know, we'll see how it goes. There's still things to be talked about. Obviously, I want to talk about who I might want to see Colby Covington fight next after Saturday night. I mean, it could be one of those two guys, or maybe you know a different fight presents itself, you know, due to the outcome of that match. So, who knows what might happen. And yeah, it was a great show. You know, thank you everybody who listens, anybody for listening. Thank you, Evan, for calling in and giving your predictions with us. I appreciate you. That's pretty much all I got. I think that's pretty much it. If you have a cable subscription, cancel your cable subscription. You know, I had Xfinity. I recently canceled it. They got the Xfinity Flexbox. It's like $5 a month for the Xfinity Flexbox. Pretty much like having a Fire Stick, but through Xfinity. It's just a way that you can keep your internet subscription to them. And so I just pay for the internet, and then the Flexbox runs off the internet. So that's fine right there. And then whatever, I mean, I don't have every subscription service. I'm not one of those people, but I can put like my Netflix on there. I can put, you know, my ESPN Plus on there, like the very few subscriptions I do have. I don't even be watching TV. So, but yeah, if you got cable, cancel that shit. It's a complete scam. And they've been robbing our pockets for years. So get the cable companies out of here. That's what we got to do. We got to make our pockets great again, I think.
I hear you. Basically, this when I moved to North Carolina, I'm going strictly Fire Stick. I'm not doing any more cable. It's probably going to hurt me during football season, but I kind of sort of figured that out too. So it's really not going to hurt me during football season. But, you know, great show tonight. Hey, Evan, man, good to hear from you, bro.
No, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, you know, you're always welcome, man. But, you know, I just want to give a personal shout-out to my boy Keys. You know, I had a death of my family a few weeks back. And, you know, he called and checked on me and, you know, made sure I was good. Kind of took it tough, but glad to be back, getting back to doing my routines and stuff as far as work and, you know, getting back up here, you know, talking, being back on Twitter. So it's been fun, you know, getting back into the flow of my life. But that being said, we only get one life, man. Ride that motherfucker till the wheels fall off. If the wheels fall off and you can get them repaired and ride that motherfucker again, dog. That's my new mantra, man. And I'm just living every day to the fullest. And I want everybody else to do the same thing. Thanks for everybody for listening to the show. You know, appreciate your support. Thanks for everybody to follow us on Twitter. We appreciate your support, and we'll be back next Wednesday with this to, you know, review 273, see what the winners, where they should go, maybe talk about what the losers should do. So everybody have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. Be good. Lee Keys, Evan, signing off. And as always, ending the show with a peace.